Graphic Audio. A movie in your mind.
Graphic Audio presents Archie, Volume 3, by Mark Wade and Joe Eisma. Narrated by Bradley Foster Smith, with performances by a full cast. Archie Andrews and Veronica Lodge walk along the streets of Riverdale, hand in hand.
Whoa!
Archie stops and inspects a poster taped to a utility pole.
Josie and the Pussycats, Tuesday at the Beacon. This Tuesday?
He grins and looks over his shoulder.
Cool! You want to see if we...
But Veronica isn't there.
Can get... tickets?
Chapter 1. Worlds Apart.
Let's plan a road trip. It'll be amazing. We can swim in the ocean and go to the best restaurants and see some...
She isn't there when he drives down Main Street.
And the driver gave a look that said...
She isn't there at band practice. She is gone, whisked aboard a Lodge Industries private jet and flown to God knows where, seemingly out of Archie's life for good. In his darkened bedroom, he lies atop his made-up bed, still clothed, staring emptily at the ceiling.
Ronnie, I miss you so much.
Chapter 2. Seeing Red.
Far away, Veronica Lodge lies on her bed in a richly appointed private dormitory. Like Archie, she stares up at the ceiling in the darkness, tears streaking her face.
Veronica Lodge is having a rough week. Her dad, enraged that he lost an election for mayor, moved elsewhere and shipped Veronica to a boarding school for girls. The vaunted Lycée Camembert, nestled in the alpine forests of Switzerland. Even worse, Veronica has zero access to all her old friends. She's completely unable to communicate with anyone there. That's what happens when your daddykins owns all the connectivity in the entire country. But ever a Lodge, Veronica's decided to steel herself and make the most of things. She's discovered her classes are not so horrible. She's no slouch at polo or holding court. A week in, she thinks she's begun to adjust. And then... Veronica Lodge, I presume?
Veronica looks up from her table at the student cafe in the chateau courtyard and sees a gorgeous girl with a mane of red hair. She notes the way the girl has subtly altered her standard gray blazer and plaid skirt, making the school uniform her own.
Cheryl Blossom. Enchanté.
The girl extends a hand, which Veronica shakes.
Apparemment.
Cheryl sits down beside her.
I'm happy you've joined us here, Lodge. You really class up the joint.
You look so familiar to me. Have we met before?
Reality TV. I was on the same show as you 2 seasons later.
The dinner party episode. That was you?
Veronica remembers the season finale.
Moi. The producers told me to shake things up a bit, you know?
I'm impressed and a little frightened.
I get that a lot. Speaking of parties, I'm throwing one on Friday, and you must come. No Molotovs, I promise.
I don't know. Truthfully, I haven't been in a party mood lately.
Aw, chickadee. I'll get us some coffee, and you tell me all about it.
I don't really want to talk about...
Julia!
Cheryl waves a hand in the air at a nearby server bussing a table.
2 espressos, stat.
The server, a plain-looking girl with glasses and thin, mousy brown hair, nods deferentially and hurries away.
Okay.
Cheryl Blossom smiles at Veronica Lodge.
Spill.
She does. Veronica tells Cheryl everything. About Archie. About their mansion that Archie knocked down. About her father, who now hated Archie with a passion, flying the family away from Riverdale after having lost his election bid for mayor.
At least you got some good shoes out of it.
My father expresses his guilt in footwear.
Cheryl tosses back her striking red hair and looks at Veronica sympathetically.
Well, that is a lot to deal with. No wonder you're depressed.
The thing is, I don't just miss Archie. I really miss Riverdale, as horrified as I was to move there. I mean, public school. And yet, I was just starting to feel like I belonged somewhere. And now I'm in the Alps and I have to start all over again.
Veronica looks out at the mountains surrounding her and shivers.
Oh, honey, do you ever belong here? We're all from the same world. I understand you in a way no one from Riverdale ever could.
Cheryl puts her hand on her arm.
Hey, let's you and me go to Dubai next weekend and do some skiing. I know a fantastic kombucha bar.
Maybe.
Veronica frowns and runs her hand through her black hair.
Listen, Cheryl, I haven't really told anyone about how I'm feeling, so...
Veronica, your secret life is safe with me. You just keep playing debutante and I won't tell a soul. So, you'll come to my wingding, right?
What's the occasion?
It's a little off-campus trifle to celebrate Julia's birthday.
Who is Julia?
Cheryl gestures at the plain-looking server who wipes down a nearby table.
That is Julia.
Is she a student at the lycée?
Yeah, on a scholarship. Can you imagine? Her parents are journalists, poor little thing. She actually has to work here to make ends meet.
A tiny red sports car pulls up next to the cafe.
Oh, car's here. Got a motor.
Both girls stand and hug.
Thanks, Cheryl. It's nice to have a friend.
I'll listen to you anytime, okay? I'm sorry things have been so sucktastic, but I think a party will perk you right up.
You might be right about that.
Lodge, you're going to learn.
Cheryl's valet opens her door for her and she slides in, winking back at Veronica.
I'm always right.
Chapter 3. Meanwhile,
Archie Andrews and Jughead Jones sit at the counter in Archie's kitchen. Jughead is in the midst of devouring a ginormous sandwich, while Archie slumps lower and lower in the throes of teenage heartache. Finally, his head hits the counter. Jughead looks down at him sympathetically.
Aw, buddy. Let's get out of here. Get your mind off Veronica. Do some fun stuff.
Meanwhile, Betty Cooper and Kevin Keller sit on a couch in the Cooper living room, playing a video game. Kevin cheerfully mashes his controller buttons, while Betty slumps lower and lower over the arm of the couch in misery. Kevin looks down at her sympathetically.
Aw, buddy. Let's get out of here. Get your mind off Saeed. Do some fun stuff.
Later, after hitting up a movie and romping around town, Arch and Jug hold an impromptu jam session in Archie's garage.
This feels good, Jug.
Figured it might. Let's celebrate with a burger.
Meanwhile, after their own shenanigans about town, Betty and Kevin cuddle kittens at the local animal shelter.
You know, Kevin, I think I'm starting to feel a little better.
Fantastic! Let's celebrate with pie.
They all head over to Pop's chocolate shop and sit in adjacent booths, each group of friends unaware of the other.
don't even say her name. It'll just haunt you.
Okay. She has totally ghosted me, man. No matter how many emails or texts I send.
I get no response. It's like he's dropped off the face of the earth. I miss
Don't even say his name, Bets. It'll just send you back into a loop of depression.
There's so many things I never got to tell her, you know?
Like how good he was in the band, or how much I love to hear him laugh. Sorry, I shouldn't feel sorry for myself.
It's like everyone we know is taking body blows. You know who else I feel bad for? Saeed.
Veronica.
Betty and Archie simultaneously let their heads drop to their respective tables.
Chapter 4. Surprise Party.
Half a world away, Veronica Lodge makes herself at home in her luxurious suite at the Lycée Camembert. She is busy unpacking some odds and ends when...
Coming!
Ronnie answers the door to see the plain-looking, bespectacled server from the student cafe.
Hi, are you Veronica?
I am, and you're Julia. Come in!
I won't keep you. I know you're busy. I'm guessing you know about this party on Friday?
I do. Do you know what you're wearing yet?
Julia smiles shyly.
That's just it. It's formal dress, and I don't actually own anything formal. And you and I are about the same size, so I was wondering if...
Julia.
Veronica grabs Julia by the wrist and drags her over to a corner of her suite, lined from floor to ceiling with clothes and shoes.
Consider me your personal stylist.
Veronica removes two elaborate dresses and holds them up to Julia's chin.
Start with these.
Many hours and many dresses later, Julia stands in front of a full-length mirror wearing a simple pink gown.
That's the one. I'll grab you some earrings and a clutch.
Veronica, I don't know how to thank you. This means so much to me.
It's nothing. I'm happy to help you.
I'm really looking forward to this party. I mean, I just feel so overwhelmed this semester. And for people to be kind to me means...
Julia looks down as Ronnie pulls some Swiss francs from her wallet.
No one is more deserving of this than you, kiddo. Here, take this.
I can't take your money.
It's just car fare to the party, silly. My treat.
Julia can't help but give Veronica a big hug. Soon the big night arrives. Veronica wears an understated black gown, elbow-length black satin gloves, and is just finishing putting on a pair of earrings. She glances over at a photo booth strip tucked into the mirror frame. Images of herself and Archie goofing around in happier times stare back at her.
Wish you were here, Archiekins.
She grabs her matching designer handbag and heads toward the door.
Next stop, the party.
Veronica arrives at the party venue to find lots of casually dressed girls with drinks in hand. Cheryl Blossom, wearing jeans and a pink t-shirt, approaches Veronica, who looks very, very out of place in her formal wear.
There's my girl! Surprise, darling!
Veronica peers up and for the first time notices a large sign hanging in the venue that reads, Welcome, Veronica.
Wait, I thought...
Lodge, you look adorable, but why the gloves and the jewels?
I thought this was a formal party. For Julia?
Oh, honey! We thought for sure you'd figure that out. Sweetie, this is a surprise party for you, to welcome you into the fold. And boy, do you look surprised.
Ronnie looks around the room.
Is Julia here?
Oh, dear God, no. Lodge, don't you worry your delicate little head about the help. Cheryl!
Veronica suddenly grips Cheryl's shoulders in a panic.
Where is she?
Two other students arrive and lean in next to Cheryl.
Cheryl played a little prank on her.
She told Julia she was throwing her a formal party, but gave her the address of the city dump. Naughty girl.
Sometimes I marvel at my own cleverness. Any pictures yet?
One of the girls holds up her phone excitedly.
Look, Binky just posted one.
Oh. Veronica looks down at the screen and sees a candid photo of Julia crouching in her pink gown, weeping in the pouring rain.
You all are monsters.
Ronnie fishes her phone out of her handbag as she hurries toward the exit.
Lodge, wait!
Siri, find the local dump.
Veronica speeds over in her sports car and gets out, scanning the entrance to the dump. She's getting drenched, but she doesn't care.
Julia? Julia? Are you still here?
There is no reply but the boom of thunder.
Shoot.
Veronica drives back to the Lycée Camembert and bounds up the staircase to the living quarters in her bare feet, arriving at Julia's room.
Julia, are you in there? It's Veronica!
The door opens, and a hand thrusts Veronica's borrowed and soiled gown and shoes at her.
Here's your stuff! Go away!
Julia, I had no idea. I'm so sorry.
Go away!
You have to believe me. I didn't know.
Veronica, shut up!
Julia's tear-streaked face glares out at Veronica through the doorway.
I saw the pictures of the real party. You're just like the others. Just like them. Now please leave and let me spend the rest of my birthday in peace.
The door closes, and a speechless Veronica wanders over to the steps and sits down. She takes out her phone and scrolls through her social media feeds.
What?
She quickly discovers a post that is trending amidst the Lycée Camembert student body. A candid photo of Veronica at the party, dressed in her black gown and gloves.
Veronica Lodge's triumphal return to her real family. Posted by C. Bloss 15 minutes ago.
Veronica leans against the wall of the stairwell, clutching the pink dress to her chest, too sad to cry, more alone than ever.
Thus endeth Veronica Lodge's first week in Switzerland. And I'm only just getting warmed up.
Cheryl Blossom lies on her bed in her suite, holding a tablet in her lap, in the middle of a video call with her identical twin brother, Jason.
You do love starting new projects.
Dear brother, I am queen here, and I'm not about to get dethroned by a lodge.
Cheryl smirks as she winds her long red tresses around her finger.
She's not going to know what hit her, Jason. I have plans. As it turns out, Miss Priss has a very particular weak spot.
Oh, do tell.
Some hayseed named Archie.
Let Jughead explain this one. Chapter 5, The Pavement King.
In a mobile phone store at the Riverdale Mall, Arch looks at the displays while Juggy leans against a glass counter disinterestedly.
It makes me nuts that you don't have a phone, Jug.
That's not what makes you nuts.
What if people want to call you?
I don't want to talk to people.
Think of GPS. You'd never get lost.
I don't want to go anywhere.
Listen, it makes me happy. It'll make you happy. By the way, did you talk to Coach about trying out for baseball?
I thought I'd wait till after my funeral, but before the cremation. I'm not unreasonable.
Stop. I have so much fun on that team. You'll love it.
Jughead folds his arms over his trademark red sweater emblazoned with the enigmatic letter S and looks pointedly at Arch.
You do understand that we're not one person, right?
Archie ignores him and picks up a phone from its display.
Hey, here's a phone for you. It doesn't cost much, but you can get most good apps.
Is there one for when I want to gaze helplessly at my reflection in social media like Narcissus until I starve to death?
Why are you 50 all of a sudden?
I'm not. I just don't want to waste my life.
Please, it's me. Remember what you said when we were six?
Jughead remembers his younger self and little Archie laying on their backs in the grass, watching the clouds roll by.
I just want to waste my life.
Okay, taking that part back.
Archie sets the phone back on its display.
Anyway, it's not all tweets and likes and stuff. My phone is part of the reason I'm such a high achiever. Shut up! I am! For instance...
Archie reaches into a pocket of his varsity jacket and takes out a folded piece of paper.
My parents' 20th anniversary party is in 2 weeks.
He unfolds it, revealing a to-do list.
I have to keep it a surprise while I reserve the picnic shelter at the park, invite their friends, coordinate the music, and the food.
Ugh, classic rock, diet soda, and canned bean dip that tastes like cardboard. How do people drag themselves through life like that?
Archie folds the paper and puts it back in his jacket pocket.
The point is, pulling a surprise party together is the definition of high functioning.
Jughead lifts a skeptical eyebrow.
Have you actually done any of it yet?
Archie!
Archie turns to see a pretty dark-haired girl approaching him. She stands a little too close and smiles a little too widely at him.
Cool to see you!
Hi, Madison.
As Archie and the girl talk, Jughead rolls his eyes.
Gah. Madison Lee. She acts all attracted to Archie, but it's only because he dated Veronica. Veronica's father owns 3 continents. Madison's owns a paving company. She thinks a kiss from Archie will bump her up to royalty. Archie, still stinging from Veronica being shipped out of Riverdale by her father, thinks a direct no will mean he's not the world's nicest guy. It's a mess. Just say what you mean, I tell him. Often. See, people desire things. They expect things. They scheme for things. They try to wriggle out of things. But not me. All I desire is a burger. And if I have something to say, I say it. But Archie wants me to be more like him. Of course.
Jughead and Archie leave the phone store and walk side by side into the mall atrium.
Did you pick out a phone?
Did you tell Madison you're not interested?
I will.
When?
At dinner. At her house. With her parents.
Your first date as a single man once more. Swing by after, I'm dying to hear, he said sarcastically.
6 hours later. Jughead opens his front door to find a miserable-looking Archie on his front porch. His clothes and hair are patched with sticky black tar.
So, how'd things go with the pavement, King?
They head downstairs to the basement laundry room where Archie ducks his head under the utility sink faucet, trying to scrub out the tar, while Jughead tosses Archie's soiled clothes into the washing machine.
This will either prove to be a wash day miracle or gum the machine up with tar forever. As a teenager, I obviously don't know or care.
The pavement king got pretty mad. He said I was leading his daughter on.
Were you?
I'm not ready to see other girls yet. I should have just said so. You were right about that. And about a lot of other stuff. You always have been, Jug.
What other stuff?
Archie shuts off the faucet and inspects himself in a mirror.
Ugh, I'll never get this tar out of my hair. It's sticking up everywhere.
What other stuff?
He puts on a t-shirt that Juggy lent him.
About not worrying, about being easy on yourself, about relaxing into life and not sweating stuff, about not craving what you're told to crave. Approval, success. Respect.
Jughead's eyes grow wide as he notices Archie's t-shirt has a giant S emblazoned on it. What's more, Archie's eyes are heavy-lidded, and his half-red, half-tar hair sticks up in spikes, much like Jug's signature-crowned beanie.
It's all too much hassle.
Juggy is horrified.
Oh, God.
Chapter 6. Meanwhile, in Switzerland...
Veronica Lodge, holding a satchel and a cup of tea, sits down at a table near the large picture window of a local posh cafe. Suddenly, two other lycée students rush up to her.
Veronica, no! You can't sit there!
What?
At Café Raclette, that's Cheryl's table.
No one sits there but Cheryl.
Veronica's face is deadpan.
Cheryl.
Blossom?
I figured.
Unperturbed, Ronnie takes an economics textbook from her satchel and begins reading.
I guess I'll deal with her if she shows up.
The other girls suddenly look stricken with fear and scatter. Veronica coolly turns a page.
Which I'm guessing is now.
Cheryl Blossom arrives behind Veronica and glares at her. Then she puts on a smile and sits down beside her.
Just the lass I've been looking for, Veronica. We need to talk.
Later. I'm studying now.
Listen, darling. I just want to mend things between us.
Later. Studying now. Go away.
Lammy, I just wanted to let you know that you are forgiven. No hard feelings, okay?
Veronica looks up from her book.
Wait. You're forgiving me?
Ronnie, dear. You ungraciously left a party that was thrown in your honor.
Ronnie's eyes narrow.
You told me that party was being thrown for Julia, not me. Julia, whom you treated very, very badly.
Settle down, Lodge. Hysteria is unbecoming on you.
Veronica stands up to leave.
I'm done here.
She reaches for her textbook, but Cheryl places her hand across it.
My turf? My say. You're not done here until I say you're done here.
Good Lord, Cheryl.
Look, Lodge, you need to understand your station.
My station?
I'm the queen around these parts. There are rules. Like, for instance, you don't sit at my table unless I invite you to sit with me.
Queen of the table. Right. Leaving now.
Veronica yanks her book away from Cheryl's grasp and turns to go. Cheryl's face reddens in anger.
Oh, you do not walk away from me!
Veronica ignores her as she heads for the door.
You're a real chip off the old block, aren't you? The old block who lost a two-bit election in a one-horse town.
Veronica freezes and wheels around, furious.
What? Did you just say?
Cheryl smiles smugly and looks idly at her perfectly manicured nails as another student stands by her side, currying favor.
You heard me, darling. Everyone knows your daddy lost his mayoral campaign and shipped the whole family away in a snit.
Ronnie is speechless with rage.
Your father is a loser? You're a loser. The name Lodge is synonymous with loser.
The student beside Cheryl nods affirmatively.
Also, small country house.
Shut up, Mackenzie.
Veronica just stares at Cheryl. Then her lips turn up in a small, terrifying smile. Cheryl blinks, unnerved, as Veronica's brown eyes bore into her.
Game on.
Chapter 7. Invasive is fine.
Back in Riverdale, USA, at Jughead's house, Archie Andrews, still dressed in a blue S sweater, his hair still a tar-stained facsimile of Jughead's crowned beanie, sits before an immense pile of pizzas, hamburgers, french fries, turkey legs, and submarine sandwiches. He shovels bite after bite into his mouth.
You should really pace yourself a little. I mean it. Eating like me is something you have to work up to. You can't just...
Jughead?
Juggy's dad, Forsyth P. Jones II, walks into the kitchen. He stops short at the sight of Archie stuffing his face.
Hi, Pop.
Two of you? It's like a dream come true.
Don't worry, he's just going through a thing. It'll pass as soon as...
Archie's eyes roll back in his head and he slides off his stool onto the kitchen floor, unconscious.
I always thought the term food coma was a joke.
Jughead and his dad stand in the driveway watching two paramedics load a stretcher-bound Archie into the back of a waiting ambulance.
So did I, kid.
Me too.
Juggy makes his way to the hospital, where he finds Fred and Mary Andrews standing at Archie's bedside.
We still don't get it, son. What happened?
I grew up, Mom. You know how phony I used to be? How I always felt pressure to live up to something?
Well, there's nothing wrong with a little pressure.
No more!
Archie puts his hands behind his head and leans back super casually.
Now I'm concerned with what's genuine in life. Music. Art. Food, of course.
Archie raises his heavy-lidded eyes to his dad.
And I owe it all to my number one role model in this life.
Well, thank you, but I don't
Jughead Jones.
Fred and Mary glance at each other, then turn to the attending medical specialist.
Doctor, is there a concussion at work here? Some treatment for this?
Or surgery? It can be invasive. Risky, even.
Shame on you guys. You're so afraid of change.
Archie sneers at his parents in overwrought, cynical rebellion, while Jughead looks on in horror.
Look at what 20 years have done to you. House payments, yard work, movies on Saturday. You think it all adds up to security.
As Fred and Mary leave, they glare over their shoulders at Juggy.
Oh!
Suddenly, Jug remembers.
20 years.
He dashes over and kneels beside Archie.
Dude, the anniversary party. You have to pull it together for the party.
To celebrate what society dictates, what's the big deal?
Jughead whips his head to the hallway.
Nurse!
Chapter 8. Simultaneously, in Switzerland.
Veronica Lodge lounges on a chic settee in her suite, her head and feet propped up on shopping bags like they were pillows, as she taps a list of to-dos on her phone's scheduling app that reads, Party Planning. She looks at the incoming call info and sees her father, Hiram Lodge, is calling.
Hello, Daddy.
Veronica.
He does not sound happy.
Explain to me these many, many charges on my credit cards.
Daddy.
Veronica chooses her words carefully.
Daddy, remember you told me that war was a game played with a smile? Well, I'm playing this game with a smile. And panache.
War? What do you...
My adversary has established a reign of terror at this girl's school you've consigned me to. I'm merely showing her followers they have an alternative.
In fact, Veronica has used Daddykin's credit cards to finance an intricate and targeted persuasion campaign, buying pricey gifts from posh boutiques for various members of the Lycée Camembert student body, ordering a crack team of masseuses to work on herself and her classmates for Massage Mondays, and planning a be-all, end-all party for the ages.
Veronica, I think...
Daddy, you know that being a teenager is hell, right?
Veronica idly taps on her phone screen and checks off the box by the word Paris.
And you told me that if I were going through hell, to keep going, right? Well, that's what I'm doing.
Veronica, I just worry that...
I'm working too hard. You'll be pleased to know I'm delegating left and right. But, you know, with kindness.
Veronica thumbs away on her phone, selecting the recipients of the group text she is composing, which reads, Saturday.
You've always stressed the importance of acquiring and maintaining allied relationships.
She picks out a few choice emoji, a star, confetti, and the Eiffel Tower, then presses send.
I'm building up a trusted network.
Just be careful, Veronica. Your opponent may be using a similar strategy.
At the same moment, Cheryl Blossom holds court at Café Raclette.
Psst.
Cheryl?
One of her underlings nudges her and, furtively holding up her phone, shows Cheryl the text she just received. Cheryl smiles smugly, then takes out her own phone and begins to search an airfare booking website for flights from Zurich to Paris.
Au contraire, Daddy.
In the stately Lodge manor, Hiram Lodge, clutching a stack of credit card bills, holds his phone to his ear.
There's only one table here to be turned, and it's mine now.
What does that even mean?
Ta.
Hello?
Lodge grimly lowers the phone.
I may have taught her too well.
His dutiful butler Smithers nods knowingly.
She listens to you more than you realize, sir.
You never know. Saturday night, Veronica is surrounded by caterers, DJs, and a co-ed crowd of stylish teens.
Veronica, it's party time!
Oh, good. Get everyone together to greet our final guest.
Cheryl Blossom puts the finishing touches on her makeup as her cab driver pulls to the curb beside a large brick building in full view of the Eiffel Tower.
Voici!
She straightens her blouse as she walks on stiletto heels toward the big metal doors of the party venue. Or is it the venue? As Cheryl walks along the brick hallway, she wonders if she got the directions wrong. The building seems too empty and smells too much like...
bread!
She turns a corner to discover workers kneading dough and sliding large paddles into a brick oven, retrieving steaming hot baguettes.
Look! She bought it! She actually flew to Paris!
Back at Veronica's party, kids crowd around Veronica, trying to get a glimpse of her phone.
Baker I paid off is texting me photos. Look at her face.
Cheryl hates carbs.
Cheryl Blossom's eye twitches involuntarily, and she digs through her handbag for her phone. Scrolling through social media, her heart leaps in her throat when she finds a post captioned, Veronica's Fab Soiree at Café Raclette, beneath a picture of Veronica dancing on what is clearly and unmistakably Cheryl's table. While Cheryl's brain explodes with rage, Ronnie plays the perfect host to her guests till late in the evening. As the crowd thins out, Veronica's mood turns suddenly thoughtful. A couple girls wave to her as they head out.
Ronnie, that was grand.
You clever girl.
Thanks.
She frowns, then as she fishes out her phone, ducks into the cafe's small utility room where she can be alone. She shuts the door behind her and slides down it to crouch beside a mop and bucket.
Veronica, is everything...
Daddy, that war I was telling you about? I won. Why does it feel like I shouldn't have?
I can't imagine, sweetheart. Well, this doesn't sound like the Veronica I know. The one I taught to be ruthless.
Veronica ends the call with her father as abruptly as she started it. Then she scrolls through her photos to find a picture of grinning, freckled, all-American Archie Andrews.
I miss you, Archie. I miss my home.
Veronica squeezes her eyes shut and clasps the phone to her chest.
How am I ever going to survive here, now that Riverdale's given me a soul?
Chapter 9. Victory?
Back in Riverdale, Jughead has snuck into Archie's bedroom and is frantically opening drawers and looking under blankets.
It's up to you, Jones. He's your best friend, and this is marginally your fault. Ugh. I've turned your room upside down, Red. No party plans. Are they in your jacket, perhaps? Criminy. How many pockets does this thing have?
Maybe there's some on the inside.
Jug slips on Archie's varsity jacket and feels around.
Oh.
Then pulls out the folded to-do list for the Andrews anniversary party.
Success! A fistful of half-achieved goals hold I. And now...
Jughead looks down and realizes how truly bizarre the whole situation is, dressed as he is, in a gold and blue varsity bomber jacket, about to engage in a selfless task and undertake actual responsibility.
Now!
He stands up straight, grits his teeth, and raises the list of to-dos to the heavens.
Now I have to save my best friend from Jughead Jones.
Chapter 10. Don't be absurd.
Kevin Keller opens the door of his apartment to find Jughead Jones wearing Archie's jacket and holding a clipboard.
Jughead? What are you wearing? Is it Halloween already?
Juggy just stares at Kevin, eyes wide.
Jug? Dude, say something.
Archie's cracked under the pressure of being Archie and of planning his parents' surprise anniversary party, and now he's turned into me, and I've been trying to fix this and be him and do his job for him, and I don't know how to do anything on Archie's list, like make a video tribute or rent tables or anything, and you know how to do this stuff, and I need help.
Kevin narrows his eyes.
You came to me to plan a party because I'm gay.
Don't be absurd. I came to you because the last party you threw, we all left with individualized gift bags. Mine had a warm cheeseburger. You are the master.
Kevin takes the clipboard from Jughead and studies it.
All this can be done in the Andrews' backyard, but by tomorrow? Gotta get close, aren't you?
I've been working my crown off, but this involves things I hate, like hard work and human contact.
Huh.
Kevin points to the list.
What's this about a fountain?
That? That was Betty's idea. Archie told me that his parents couldn't afford a honeymoon. All they could do was sit in front of that big fountain at the Plaza Hotel and throw a coin in to wish for a good life. Most romantic moment they ever had, says Betty.
Kevin nods, then writes a note on the clipboard.
Fountain. Rentable. Okay, I can make the arrangements and deal with the relatives and guests. But do you want some advice?
Proving once more that I am not myself. Yes.
Okay.
Alone at Riverdale Park, Archie, still jug-headed out, sits idly on the end of a seesaw, eating a burger out of a paper sack, looking numbly at a picture of Veronica on his phone.
If you're really Archie's best bud, you won't let him live with the eventual guilt of blowing this. You'll get him back in the game and push him to step up, or he'll never forgive himself once he comes to his senses. So do that. Somehow.
Later, in a parking lot near the park, Jughead hands out fire extinguishers to a group of friends. Tony Topaz takes one.
So you want us to shadow Archie?
Provided I can stir him from his torpor, it will be your duty to watch his back while we help him.
Dilton Doily looks quizzically to Betty Cooper.
Why do we need fire extinguishers?
Because we can't afford hazmat suits.
Betty leans into Jughead.
Jug, you know why Archie wants to be you, right?
Because I'm cool?
No, you're overlooking something important. Why he was so quick to be you? I think it's because...
Places, everybody!
Juggy removes his crowned beanie and snugs on a nondescript blue baseball cap. He walks over to the seesaw where Archie sits motionless, his hair still tarry and jabbing upwards like a crown. Jughead puts his foot up on the seesaw's raised seat.
You know how these things work, right?
Rising up just to travel down again? What good's a round trip?
Archie lifts his heavy-lidded eyes to the varsity jacket and baseball cap and frowns.
What's with the outfit? You're messing with my whole sense of reality.
Jughead slowly leans his weight on the seesaw, gradually lifting Arch into the air.
Do tell.
I mean it. What do you always say? Be yourself unashamedly.
Even when the pressure's on to adapt?
That way lies madness. Why be someone else?
If you're not true to yourself, what's the point, right? Be yourself, man!
Archie suddenly blinks and looks down at Jughead.
Oh, God!
Jug lifts his leg and Archie goes crashing to the ground. He walks to his dazed friend and kneels at his side.
How do you manage it? How do you sit there without thinking of everything terrible in your life?
Don't tell anyone, but I think bad thoughts all the time. But they don't hurt me in the same way.
Juggy helps his friend into his varsity jacket.
See, your feelings are more open to the world than mine. You're more in tune with everyone else. It's a brave way to live. And despite all the social expectation crap I hate, your goodness shines through. And it always seems to win.
Huh.
Archie jumps to his feet.
Wait, what's wrong now?
I wanted to get my folks an anniversary gift, but I don't know what, and I've run out of time.
Jughead sets the baseball cap on his pal's head.
We've got a party to throw. Concentrate on that. Let the rest figure itself out. Go.
Chapter 11. Surprise!
Archie races all over town, gathering supplies for the party, trailed by his friends like fire extinguisher-wielding guardian angels. Mishap after mishap averted, he miraculously arrives at his house in one piece, where he is able to grab a quick shower and finally wash the tar out of his hair before the guests arrive. At zero hour, the house is dark and crammed full of people. Archie peers out the curtains.
They're pulling into the driveway! Everyone, get ready!
Wait, no. Archie turns away from the window and stares glumly at his feet. Jughead and Kevin, standing beside him, notice his troubled demeanor.
What's wrong?
All this running around. I never got them a gift, Jug.
Archie, you got them this party.
No, Kevin, you did. Jug did, and Betty, and Sheila, and Tony. All you guys did. I just picked up a few things. That's not enough. Not for them.
He looks toward the door.
I don't believe this.
Terrific dinner, Mary. What say we...
Kevin hits the lights, revealing Fred and Mary standing dumbstruck in the doorway.
I don't know what to say. Mary, look how many people flew in for this.
And the gifts! Oh, you shouldn't have.
Soon the party moves to the backyard, where the rented fountain is set up. Kevin slaps Archie on the back and points.
Arch, see how happy they are? You pulled it off.
I slacked.
Jughead lifts his shoulders in an empathetic shrug.
Don't beat yourself up. It's okay, pal.
It'll have to be. I feel like a...
Mary, look.
Archie turns and sees his parents holding one another, looking starry-eyed at the large fountain in the middle of their yard.
Remind you of anything?
Our honeymoon. The Plaza Hotel.
Realization dawns on Archie's face. He digs into his pocket, walks over to his parents, and presses something into his father's hand.
What's this?
Archie smiles.
My gift.
Fred looks down and opens his hand.
A quarter.
Make a wish.
Fred and Mary look at each other with tears in their eyes, and then move in to hug their son.
Don't need it. But thank you. For everything.
Later in the evening, near the end of the party playlist, Kevin, Jughead, and Betty stand near the refreshment table and breathe a collective sigh of relief.
Another crisis solved.
I would celebrate if I were a celebrator.
Archie seems to have wandered off. Anybody see which way?
Kevin scans the crowd, then spots Archie sitting by himself, shoulders slumped.
There he is. Why isn't he with the party dancing to Whitney Houston like our parents? He looks even mopier than before.
He's not all right. This just got his mind off his troubles for a while. You still don't get it, do you? I will ask again, and we know the answer. Jughead, why was he so quick to be you instead of him?
Because...
Jughead face palms with the realization.
Of course.
He wanted to be you.
Betty watches Archie with concern. He is bent over his phone, staring mournfully at a picture of Veronica.
Because you've never had a broken heart?